even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another month, therefore it's another live show. And joining us, I've got a nice bevy of beauties that are joining us this evening. I hope you've all got a cup of tea or a drink. I'm having a little whiskey tonight. And I just want to dedicate this episode to my mate Lil. So we are going to be doing top five. Well, not top five. That's how fried my brain is today. I've been recording three hardcore listings today. So there you go. I've gone straight into hardcore listing mode. Sorry, listeners of Off the Beaten Track. We're going to be talking about songs that, because it's a very hardcore listing title, that songs that start with the letter A, they quite easily do a top five. And I'm sure we've all probably got a fair few. So the idea that we decided we was going to do for this live show was pick a letter and I guess work our way through the alphabet. And then we'd start with the letter A, which is where we're at today. Okay, so Brett, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, are we doing songs that begin with letter A? Because I spent all day...
No, sorry, my bad. My brain's very fried today, so you got to bear with me. It's going to be artists.
Good, because otherwise you would have fucked my list.
Right, well, look, seeing as you've been very vocal about this and wanted to showcase the effort that you put in today, mate, you can kick things off. Give me a song from an artist that begins with the letter A, please, Brett.
A song that begins for... Oh, geez.
No, an artist. A song from an artist that begins... Why have I made this so complicated?
I don't know. I've just written a massive list down of artists.
Right. It is artists, yeah. But yeah, obviously, I need a song by one.
Good. Okay, I mean, I'm going to reveal the T-shirt for the start. It's the Aggrolite, one of the best reggae ones ever. And I'm going to go for... Rat Boy by the Aggrolites. It's great. It's fun. It's what they do. I love it. I've seen them a few times. Met Jesse a couple of times. Really good.
I've not heard of them. Well, I say I've not heard of them. Did they come up in conversation on a recent live one?
Yes. We were talking about them a couple of times ago. They describe themselves as dirty reggae. And it is. It's... sort of California reggae, sort of the third generation sort of 90s vibe where they come through. Really good, really, really good at what they do. I've seen them a few times and love them.
Wonderful. Great shout. On my little screen.
I can put another T-shirt and it's not quite as tight now.
Yes, go. I'm going to work my way around the little square pictures of you all in the manner that I see it. So next is Paul. What have you got for me, mate?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a prop for this one as well. So this is one of my smash hits from 1980.
Look at that.
Same band on the front. So it's Altered Images, which I don't really know much about them, but like when I was 14, which I was then, they were kind of like a band that I was quite into.
Yeah,
And, well, exactly. It wasn't all to do with Clara, but it probably was, really. I think most 14-year-olds had a crush on Clara, so I was kind of part of a bigger club there. So yeah, I'm trying to think of the single. I haven't really prepared that, but there's a really good song called "Don't Talk to Me About Love," which is a real earworm for me. It's kind of, I can't get out of my head once it's in there.
Yeah.
And I just liked them because they were kind of poppy, but they had a bit of a kind of indie sort of edge as well. I think they were all Susie and the Banshees fans before that's how they got together, I think. So, yeah.
Perfect choice. Perfect choice. There's REM done a secret gig as under the pseudonym a bingo hand job at the Borderline around the time of Out of Time. And at one point, Michael Stipe sings the verse and chorus of "Don't Talk to Me About Love."
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've seen the footage as well. But
they do a little bit of that. They do a little bit of Tom's Diner. I think they do Tom's Diner when Billy Bragg comes on with them. And I think Robin Hitchcock's there as well. He is, because they do Listening to the Higgsons. Imagine that, REM at the bloody Borderline. That would have been insane. But yeah, "Don't Talk to Me About Love." It's the best song by Altered Images, in my opinion. It's a masterpiece. And I can't think who I had on the podcast, but they said to me, I can't think who... It was certainly a woman, and she went, "Why is it when you say the word Claire Grogan, men of a certain age group all just kind of go a little bit doughy-eyed?" And it's like, and it is like, I vividly remember seeing her doing like "I Could Be Happy" and "Happy Birthday" on Top of the Pops, and thinking, "Oh my god!" And then obviously seeing Gregory's Girl, like,
I think that's part of it as well, yeah, because. Yeah. We all were a bit of Gregory as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great shout. Right, I'm going to go to my right and I'm going down under. Mark, what you got for me, mate?
I might have misunderstood the title. I'm not sure, but so I've gone with artists starting with the letter A, but yeah, all right.
That's correct. So,
yep.
I didn't just pick them to wind you up, Stu, because I know you're a huge fan. AC/DC, obviously. A couple of things about AC/DC. First of all, I don't know how they're still going. Like, they're half dead. Do you know what I mean? There's like two original members, I think, still in them. But in this day and age, I don't know how they haven't been cancelled. Right? We got some of their song titles here, right? I'll read them out to you.
Do it.
Right.
Is this going to get your podcast cancelled?
I'm out there now. Well, no, do you know what? They're announcing a tour. They're just about to announce a tour, I think. So everybody's sort of like on tenterhooks waiting for the tour dates. But yeah, anyway. So these are actual AC/DC song titles, right? For real. "Big Balls." "Beating Around the Bush." "Cover You in Oil." "Rhapsody in Blue." "Deep in the Hole." "Giving the Dog a Bone." "Hard as a Rock." "Let Me Put My Love Into You." "Love at First Feel." "Sink the Pink." And this is my personal favourite, "Up to My Neck in You." Like,
literally the greatest hits of cunt in the gang right there.
How is that still acceptable in this day and age? Do you know what I mean? That a band with song titles like that are still touring, and not only that, selling out arenas around the world. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I think it's a little more lenient in Australia, isn't it?
I think it is, mate. They could do anything. They could, you know, they're untouchable. They're royalty, and then some. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But it's not so much Brian Johnson, because he's like, Brian Johnson's like the sort of, he's like, if your dad's passed away and your mum's married a new fella, like, there's nothing wrong with him, you know what I mean? He's not rude or nasty or anything like that, but he ain't your dad, do you know what I mean? Like, Bon Scott is so revered in Australia as a rock star. Like, he does all right, Brian Johnson, do you know what I mean? He ain't no Bon Scott, and, you know, he'll never be sort of like, he'll never be at that level. But yeah, so like I said, they're just about to announce a tour, like a world tour. I think they're waiting to see when the Rolling Stones announce their tour, and they're like, you know, who's going to announce first, and yeah, when the arenas are. But I'll be straight there, mate. I'll be there with bells on, like hell's bells. Hey, see what I did there? Yeah, because it'll be massive. There'll be they'll sell out. There's an arena in Perth holds 60,000. I reckon they'll sell that out two or three nights easy if they wanted to. It'll be huge. And I had an honourable. Are we doing honourable mentions or are we doing?
We'll go round. Like we all can right, all. We got a bit of time on this, so I think most people's answers are going to be pretty short. So we'll try and go around a few times if we can.
Right.
Yeah. Will you? You enjoy AC/DC? Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
And going up to your neck. Sean, what have you got for me, mate?
I'm going for another Aussie band, actually. Someone I've gone into the last couple of years, so fairly recently. Ammo and the Sniffers.
Oh, good chat.
Good choice.
Yeah, I've seen them live a few times now, and they're great, like real fun, loads of energy. The front woman, Amy, she's incredible. Her energy is so infectious. And just one of my the best discoveries I've found recently. A track, I'll just go for Guided by Angels. The first song off of Comfort to Me, I think it is.
I'm not being funny. If you're a 14-year-old indie kid and, you know, you're looking for your era as Claire Grogan, she is something special, isn't she? Like, what a front person. Like, absolutely incredible. And she done a track with Sleaford Mods, didn't she? Fantastic. Also, I'm going to shout out Sleaford Mods again, who have just released a fucking amazing cover of West End Girls for Shelter. Absolutely incredible. Solid shout on that one, Sean. Steve Priest, what have you got for me, mate?
Hopefully my speaker's working.
You sound great, mate.
Well, I've gone for Aesop Rock and The Impossible Kid. That's the album. But the track I've gone for is one called Kirby, which is about his kitten that he wrote. It's all about his battle with depression. And, you know, he was speaking to different people about, you know, what he should do, what medication he should do. And then someone just turned around to him and said, have you ever had a cat? It's just a song about him going to get a cat, meeting this sketchy woman in a car park somewhere and buying this kitten off her, and just the fun and all that stuff he has with it. It's really nice.
I've never heard that.
It's brilliant, mate. He's a really kind of technical rapper. Like his wordplay, he uses big words. But he's really lyrically clever as well with what he says. So it's really good. I think you'll like it, mate. If you like kind of your sort of, I mean, he's definitely not like gangster rap. If you like your kind of a bit more native tongues than NWA sort of stuff, he's a bit more along them sort of lines than gangster. But it's really good. The album's brilliant, actually.
I did get a little bit worried when you said long words. I thought, oh dear, I could struggle with that.
Not that I'll get it out, but it's also on neon green.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely. I'm just going to throw back to, as soon as we just had two Aussie choices, fellow music podcast, Matt Stocks from the Life in the Stocks podcast, posted a few videos of himself. Jason Perry couldn't be here this evening. I did ask him to come tonight as obviously as a member of A. I thought it would be fitting. He's promised to come on one, but he said he won't choose the letter A because he's not in the country at the moment. But he organised some free tickets for my mate Matt, who's in Australia, to go and see Robbie Williams the night before last. And I've seen a clip of like one of his recent concerts, and he's gone full Vegas type kind of song and like and a bit of chat in between and like sort of tenuous links into his kind of his songs. And at one point I see a clip of him doing Don't Look Back in Anger, which, I mean, that's a pretty bleak thing, isn't it? Robbie Williams doing Don't Look Back in Anger live. But he wanted to get the Aussie crowd on board, and the last video that Matt posted was Robbie Williams doing John Farnham's You're the Voice, and they were losing their fucking shit. What is it with Aussies and Farnham, Mark?
I don't know, mate.
Because he's from Canvey Island, right? We know that.
Yeah, he ain't even proper Aussie.
No, he's an Essex boy.
He done the AFL halftime show this year, AFL Grand Final, which is like, if you order the Super Bowl from Wish, like that's what it's like. and he did that, and he did it there as well. And the same, went down a storm. There's always a massive sort of social media and media, print media sort of commentary on the AFL halftime show. And Meatloaf famously fucked it up 1 year, rest his soul. And the Killers did it 1 year and they got an absolute panning. But yeah, so I think there was a clear instruction to Robbie and his people to get the crowd on side, and you know, and he did that obviously by covering that. Yeah, it's we've just recently had a referendum here on changing the constitution, and it's called The Voice. It's about giving First Nations Indigenous people a sort of a voice in Parliament, and that was a massive track, obviously, for the campaign, for the yes vote. Unbelievably voted no by some margin in Australia, which is ridiculous, but I don't want to get political while we're here. But yeah, that's just one of them songs, Stu. It's just like, it could be the national anthem. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just massive. Like, he's huge over here. And I can't ever, he's like Bon Scott. He's in that level of sort of reverence.
Absolute belter, isn't it? I mean, however much you want to sort of sneer at it for being the pomp and turned up 11, it's a fucking banger, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Like when you hear that drum intro and that piano, you're like, here we go. Yeah, it's a tune, yeah, for sure. Mate.
Wonderful. Right, from Dan Under to Bonnie Scotland, Stephen, what you got for me, mate?
Oh, just quickly continuing the Australians, even throw a quick mention to the Australian Pink Floyd. I was just going to see the other week and just reinforced how good Dark Side of the Moon is, because they were doing the 50-year anniversary.
Yeah.
But for I was thinking of Annie, the Norwegian pop thing, and the song Corridors of Time from the recent Dark Hearts album, and it's my usual sort of drony, breathy, sort of melancholic but inspiring and uplifting, but it's more synthy rather than my usual guitars, and I just think it's beautiful and lovely.
Oh, fantastic. That's a great shout. I had not even contemplated Annie. Yeah, fantastic. Great shout. Right. We will get round to everybody for a second time. In the meantime, Kirst, what you got?
So just for context, I'm one of those people that if you were to ask me to suddenly think of every word that I can think of quickly that begins with B, my mind goes blank. So this was the exact scenario with this. Every artist, every band disappeared from my mind and they just didn't exist. So embarrassingly, it took me a long time to actually come up with someone. So I started looking through who I'd been playing, you know, my playlists and stuff like that. And Average White Band seems to come out on top. I love Average White Band. I think they're great. You can put them on if you're entertaining. You can put them on a Sunday morning if you're just chilling or if you want to dance around your kitchen. I just think they're great.
Fantastic.
A song would be, I don't know, pick the pieces up or whatever it's called. I can't quite remember now. Pick the pieces.
Yeah. Solid chat and keeping it on the Scottish tip. Great band. I put them on at the Toothbrush and they cost a fortune. This was probably about 25 years ago, and they hadn't done anything. And they announced they were going to play two shows. They played the Jazz Cafe and the Brush. And I thought, right, we are going to clear up. I think we sold about 100 tickets. I lost an absolute fortune that night. So whenever I think of Average White Band, I just think of literally hemorrhaging money. But picking up the pieces is a fucking belter.
I'm sorry. I brought that memory back.
Oh, mate, they've got some absolute tunes. Great shout. Great shout. Simon Lovell.
Get a cat. Steve, talking earlier. As you know, Stu, I found a little cat that was abandoned, a wild cat, a few months ago. This is her.
Oh, beautiful.
We kept her. And I ate cat. I fucking hate cats.
That cat don't hate you. That cat clearly loves you, mate.
Yeah, rescued her. 3 weeks old she was. I'd had exactly the same as Kirsten, and I said to my wife, from every single band I came up with was arsed, basically. But I'm going to choose Angus and Julia Stone, Big Jet Plane, because I absolutely love them. I think they're a fantastic duo.
Solid shout. Nice. When did you discover them, sorry?
Years ago. I absolutely adore that kind of music. A long time ago. Because it was that, or A.A. Bondi, who's sort of similar. Do you know A.A. Bondi?
No, I don't know. Sort of
alt country, sort of Americana,
yeah.
Sort of sound. No, just lovely. But Angus and Julia Stone, a bit special, I think.
Oh, well, if we're going to go for that kind of new wave kind of alt country, then I'm going to throw in the mix Alberta Cross off their first mini EP or first mini album, a track called "The Devil's All You've Ever Known," and it was I'd heard a track by them called Lucy Ryder, which is unreal, and I had the singer. I think the singer's from Norway. That's probably offensive. He's Scandinavian. He's over that way. He lives in London. And he did come. I did have Alberta Cross. And he is essentially Alberta Cross as well. He has various sort of musicians work around him. And I was such a fan. And then continue to be such a fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Fan of that band, and he invited me to his house to record, and he had a little studio which we recorded in, and he was just playing some songs, which was amazing. But the track that knocked me sideways, it's not actually on Spotify. Most of their other stuff is, as they went on to become, you know, successful, and I think they toured America a few times with Oasis back in the day. And he's just got a beautiful, beautiful voice. But yeah, the devil's all you've ever, had, or you ever known, or you've ever known. He's just, if you like Band of Horses and that sort of thing, and oh my god, yeah, it's a My Morning Jacket, that kind of vibe. Then Alberta Cross's first mini album. Oh, he's absolutely fantastic. Right. Full circle. Brett Carter.
Sorry, I'm just watching Lovell's cat. It's quite funny. I've got a big list. Okay. I'm not going to go for the obvious ones. I'm going to cast your minds back. 20, 25 years ago, this Brighton yobbo managed to get a date with some wonderful Surrey girl. Bit of a horsey type. Rah, rah, rah. Come to my local. It's great. The Duke of Wellington in Shoreham is a bit of an institution. There's bands there every night of the week. It's really good. We've had all sorts. We've had Fatboy Slim turned up there. We've had Paul Heaton play there, this, that and the other. We rock down there. It's Friday night. Come on, there'll be a band. It'll be fine. If you don't like the band, we go and sit in the garden and smoke jazz cigarettes. We rock up there. She turns up. She's looking at me like, what the fuck is this? What's the band on tonight? Look up there. It's Anal Beard. We're like, wicked. That's off to a good start for the night. Can I have a glass of wine? What have you got? Red or white? Okay, there you go. Get served up in the tumbler. I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, this date ain't going very well. She's my wife now.
Hey! Love it.
But you know, you're sitting there thinking, oh, God, it's Anal Beard.
I don't think I've heard anything by Anal Beard.
Nor have I, until then or since. But, yeah, I don't think they've got many records out.
Better Anal Beard than the other Anal band, that's all I can say, because they are fucking terrible.
Oh, what a nice little warming story there. Nice one, Brett. Paul, what you got?
Next up is Ash. Again, I just know singles really by them. But a brilliant one off, I think it was the second or third album, called Shining Light.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I think Annie Lennox covered it.
Hey! Yeah, yeah, Steve Priest above there holding up 1977.
Fantastic, yeah. So, yeah, just a great wee band. They make lots of noise, good fun, nice guys. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, during the early in the year, I went back to Northern Ireland to see my parents, and we took a little drive down Downpatrick, where they're from, and there's a gable wall that's been painted with Girl from Mars, like a big sort of mural, and it's fantastic. And it was there for a year, and nobody's tried to, like, you know, nobody's spray painted on it or tried to damage it or anything. It's just perfect.
Oh, so brilliant. Love it.
My daughter was kind of not very impressed, didn't really know what the big fuss was all about, but yeah.
It's at the Toothbrush, we've got it's gone now. I don't know if you remember it, Steve, but we did at one point one of the walls. We had the cover of Girl from Mars, and we just had that painted across one of the walls in the club. And my kind of weird little Ash story is the first manager of my first band used to. I mean, the reason he got our job was he managed the Cardi Unstoppable Sex Machine fan club. So we just thought that gave him the credentials to be able to manage a band. It didn't. But he started managing us, and then he got a phone call saying, we've got a job for you if you're interested. There's a band coming over from Ireland, but they're all 15, so they need a chaperone. Will you chaperone this band? And that was Ash. And and for some reason, as yet, I've had a few kind of back and forth with agents about getting Tim on, or any of the lads from Ash, and it's never quite come through. Mark, I'll move on to you, because you've had Ash on, haven't you?
Rick from Ash was the very first person I ever interviewed.
Oh, he's lovely, isn't ever. He? Yeah. Yeah,
he's such a nice fella. I couldn't have wanted an easier start into my podcasting career. And he was episode one. I was sort of hoping to have a bit of a run up at it because, you know, as you know, Stu, like yourself, I've got absolutely no history or qualifications or experience in broadcasting or interviewing journalism in any way, shape or form. And I was hoping to do a few Perth local bands before I started, you know, moving up to people, like, you know, sort of well known. But he was so nice. He was a really nice fella. I was really nervous, like, obviously, before I started chatting to him, because he was like, you know, he's Rick from Ash. But yeah, he was so nice. He put me at ease. And yeah, hopefully I didn't come across like a rank amateur who was absolutely blagging it when I was chatting to him. But yeah, he was episode one. And yeah, they came and toured and did. They've got a new record out now, I think. They've got new material, but at the time it was a postponed 30th anniversary tour. And I've just picked up that I've got 1977 reissue. I think it's on like a splatter coloured vinyl. It's beautiful looking bit of vinyl. Yeah, so Rick from Ash, he's a lovely fella. Are we doing honourable mentions now?
Well, you can get your one in there, mate. Of course, that's why we're
right, okay. I've got a couple just for specific reasons. So,
There it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one, Steve. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've got that one. Yeah, for some specific reasons, I've gone with Allman Brothers Band, just for writing the theme tune to Top Gear. So I've gone with that, and Ryan Adams, just for covering the Taylor Swift album, not just a song, but the entire album. He did 1989, and it's an incredible record. Unbelievable cover versions, like every single one of them. Every track on the album is an absolute winner. And he's a bit of a, what, how would you call it? A bit of a miss, I think. It depends what mood he's in when you see him live, whether it's the best gig of your life or whether you just think shouldn't have
bothered. Are you a fan of him, Mark, yourself?
I do. I am. Yeah. I like Come Pick Me Up. I think that's one of my all-time favourite songs. That's in my top 10 of all time. That
he's one of my favourite artists of all time ever. I think he's incredible.
Yeah.
But he's a bit...
He's coming to Perth soonish, I think. But I think it's a night I've got kids week on, week off. And I think it's one of them nights. And I don't like him enough to shell out $200 for a fucking babysitter as well as gig tickets. So I'm leaving it, I think. But
he's
yeah.
he's a divisive character, isn't he? Some of his music has been a little bit questionable, but his music is he's ridiculously good, and you know, I mean, his cover of Wonderwall's beautiful. And,
I've heard Noel Gallagher say that's what he wishes he'd done it like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've heard him say that in interviews. He was like, he heard that version and gone, yeah, that's it. That's what it should have been like. It's a banger, that one, for sure. Yeah.
Wonderful. Cheers, mate. Sean, what you got for me, my friend?
I'm going to throw out a band called And So I Watch You From Afar. I thought Steve might be familiar. Like Irish instrumental post-rock sort of stuff. But again, just one of the best bands I've ever seen live. Just real technical and great energy. And song-wise, I'm going to go for, I've got to get this right, Beautiful Universe, Master Champion. It's all one word, off the album Gangs. And it's, it's a real energetic but beautiful song as well.
Steve, you're clearly a fan. You've now just fanned out about five albums by them. Steve, am I right in saying that you've chosen them before on here?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I chose Set Guitars to Kill off the first album.
Fantastic.
Opening tracks or tracks that I would like people to hear.
Nice. Sean, how did you discover them?
Just through friends, really. Probably, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. Just, I think, a few friends got into them through other bands, and then a group of mates went to see them, and then, just snowballed from there, really.
Nice.
But I've seen them a few times now, and it's always good.
Love it. Steve, has he chosen one of your picks there, or was you going to go?
No, mate, I had to. You wasn't. See, because this is like my type of category, because I am that guy that all my music's in alphabetical order.
It has to be. Those
all
the rules.
Games behind me are in alphabetical order. All my stuff is in alphabetical order. So this was like right up my alley. So I knew exactly where everything was.
I mean, I'm not being funny, Steve. Looking over your shoulder, you don't need to convince us you're a nerd, mate. Like, it's mate, there.
That ain't the half of it. That's what you can see.
What are you going to go for, mate, for your second one?
From one extreme to the other. So this is a band called the Acacia Strain. And the album's called Wormwood. It's probably my favourite album by them. And the song is called Bottom Feeder. And it's just miserable and aggressive, which is kind of what I like.
So what is it kind of like? Is it metal?
Yeah, it's I mean, they hate the term, but people would call it deathcore. So it's kind of, you know, more metallic, but with like deep growly vocals. But the song's awesome.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's just miserable metal, which is, you know, right up my street. It's not something you play in the brush.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Although no, it'd be amazing because people would kill each other.
Yeah, it's not really where I'm going with running a club. mass murder on the dance floor.
Fine, mate.
Cheers, Steve. From Steve to Stephen. What have you got, mate?
Well, I'm going to mention an album that I sort of want to hear. I don't really know what it's like because I just heard about it listening to a podcast on the way back from work today. The new Andre 3000 album, whatever it's called, Moon, Sun, Blood, or whatever, where he's playing the flute and it's just ambient chill, because the podcast digged me out, they were doing various bits and they played about 30 seconds of one of the tracks and I was just like, that sounds quite good, I'll need to sort of do that, but as I say, I've not had the chance to sort of venture out and get any more of it or see, but it certainly seems quite interesting and appealing.
Yeah, I've not heard any of it yet. Six Music have been banging on about it, but haven't actually played any of it, that not when I've been listening.
It's all sort of 12-minute tracks with
the
first track's called something like, I was going to make a rap record, but this is the way the wind blew me. It's all been recorded while I was on ayahuasca or mescaline or something like that. You know, it's just, you know, it's all that sort of just tripped out ambient Brian Eno, Philip Glassy type thing.
I fucking love Outkast, man. He's just a dude as well, isn't he? Just like he just stands aside from like hip hop. I think they're just their own genre in themselves, and I love the fact that they kind of just push the boundaries. I think Outkast and again, you know, Andre's just an absolute fucking dude. That's a great shout, mate.
They're not called Outkast either, Stu. They're called Outkast.
Did I just say Outkast?
Yeah. Oh, see.
God's sake. Did you know what? I keep slipping up. When I referred to Dwight York, just done it there, Dwight Schrute as Dwight York on Hardcore Listing, not being forgiven for that one yet. And I've done it again recording this month. Oh, dear. Brain's fried today. I want the whiskies. Kirst, what you got for us, mate?
Well, it doesn't pass me by that I'm probably slightly the odd one out of this group. And I'm not quite sure how this will go down, but I can't deny that when I was in sort of older teenager, All Saints, I absolutely loved All Saints. And I could probably recite word to words, Never Ever, from start to finish. And I wanted to be them. I wanted to dress like them. They were everything to me at that age. So yeah, I'm going to say All Saints. And Steve, do you have their album? No.
Alas, it's one that I'm missing. It's
what a shame.
It's on my wants list. When they bring it out on vinyl, I'll pick up a copy.
Yeah. I mean, they were the more kind of cooler Spice Girls, I think. Like all of a sudden, they were in combats and trainers and stuff in the mid 90s, and they just they just looked a bit cooler, didn't they? I thought than their songs were a bit more kind of, I don't know, slightly edgier than the kind of shiny pop that was the Spice Girls. I absolutely was in love with Melanie Blatt, and then I watched him race across the world and thought she was a bit of a sport brat. But there you go, better edit that out.
Is she the one with the wonky head?
With the wonky hair.
You got wonky head. She's got a bit of a wonky face.
I'm not sure. They're all pretty, pretty. I can't remember anyone having a wonky head. It's you now, actually. So, what you got?
Well, my first thought halfway through somebody talking was Alvin Stardust, my Cuckoo. Nobody said that yet. That's a classic. But no, I think I'd have to go. It's quite boring. And I'd have to go Audio Slave. I'd have, because of Chris Cornell. I'm a Highway.
Nice.
I love Chris Cornell, and I think a lot of people didn't like Audio Slave, did they?
But
it worked for me. It's cliched rock, isn't it, really, I suppose.
It was balls out rock, because they come out around the same time as, what was the Guns N' Roses one with
Wayland? Velvet Revolver.
Velvet Revolver, yeah. I think Sliver come out around the same time as Cochise. And I remember at the time, my youngest was born and was in her little kind of rocking chair type thing. And the video to Audio Slave had loads of fireworks on the top of that rooftop thing. And it used to absolutely pull her in for like about 5 minutes. So I knew I could go and make a cup of tea or something if that came on MTV at the time. It used to get me out of trouble, that one. Cochise, I know it's not your track, but that lead single, I mean, when you look at who's in that band, and it was a big ballsy rock classic, wasn't it? But yeah, solid shout, mate. Solid shout. I'm going to go for a band from Kent, and they were called Airhead, and they were a super kind of pop indie band, and they were like a sort of major label signing, and I discovered them through what I think is one of the greatest pop records ever made, which is a track called Funny Air, with the lines, "Funny how the girls you fall in love with never fancy you, funny how the ones you don't do." And it's just a perfect pop song. Me and like my best mates would go and watch Airhead constantly. They had more success with a follow-up single, which was called Counting Sheep, and their debut album, Boing. It's not for everyone. There was lots of really fucking cool indie stuff happening around the early 90s, and they were a little bit kind of shiny, kind of overproduced major label indie. But I fucking loved them. And if none of you have heard Funny Hair, have any of you heard Funny Hair by Airhead?
I absolutely love it. I've got to say, I bought it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. You're the only other person that had ever heard of him.
Yeah.
And you mentioned them before. I absolutely loved that song. They were a perfect pop.
Yeah.
It's 90s pop.
Absolutely cracking record. And I think the drummer Sam was in the Popping Jays for a bit as well, who were another kind of big label indie band around then. And I used to play with a band called Bedazzled as well, and we'd go and watch them constantly, and love them. So I'm going to throw Airhead in there. Right, well, look, we've got 15 minutes left, so has anybody got some ones they want to throw in there? Brett, what you got?
I've got a huge list, but I'm going to go on a house music tangent, and it's a toss-up between two of them. Alison Limerick, Where Love Lives, is a cracking tune. Or the other one I've got written down is a Dampstein Killer.
Oh, yeah.
Both wonderful tunes.
Yeah, they're Andy both.
I am, but Dampstein Killer, actually.
Yeah. Oh, Dampstein, mate. Like, oh, saw him live supporting Erasure at Milton Keynes. And yeah, and he's fucking bananas, Adam. I had him on very early on, and we become kind of, you know, pals, and he come to this little art exhibition thing that I helped put on, and we was trying to raise some money, He must make serious royalties from Killer, because he weighed in and bought a lot of very expensive art that night. He was he's a real top lad. He's Adam, and I think he was one of the youngest people to have a, what was the deal he had? He was in a band called something like the, oh God, the Test Tubes or something like that. He had a record deal when he was something like 11, and he'd made this little indie punk record. He's pure punk as well, Adamski. Yeah, got loads of time for him. And Killer is one of the greatest pieces of electronic music ever made, in my humble. Who else has got one to throw in the mix?
Yeah, I've got one to chuck in, another Aussie one, Stu. Aussie singer-songwriter called Angie McMahon, and the song's called Slow Mover. It's a great tune. It's just about... there's a verse in it about being drunk with your partner outside the kebab shop at 3 a.m. Like, no, I don't want to kiss you. It's 3 a.m. Let's go. I don't. You've got your kebab breath. Like, no thanks. Like, I want to chip. Let's get home. Do you know what I mean? It's 3 a.m. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Lyrically, it's really, really good. I'm just trying to, off the top of my head, think of some of the lyrics for you. But yeah, if you're not aware, Angie McMahon.
I sent it to you last week. I sent you the link to it last week, Stu.
You did. You did.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a cracking tune. Friend, oh friend, it's 4 a.m. What are we doing in the street? I think that's the sort of opening lyric to it. Yeah. And it's, it's just about like relationship and, you know, I'm a slow mover. And yeah, you think, what is it about? Oh, I can't remember the lyrics now. If I'd have been better prepared, I would have written them down. But it's brilliant. It's funny. It's witty. Yeah, and it's a great tune as well. Angie McMahon, Slow Movers.
And that's quite fitting as well, Mark, seeing as the last time I see you, it was 3 a.m. outside a club and you was going over to
it was, wasn't it? It was later than that, yeah. Stu. It was later than that. I slept on Kirsty's boat that night. I woke up with a bad back and all sorts. That was my birthday, wasn't it? My 50th, that's right. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to go for 2 points. I'm going to go for ABBA and Angel Eyes because it's my favourite ABBA song and I think it's about as good a piece of pop as you can get is Angel Eyes. I think it's just got a super huge soaring chorus. Well, everything ABBA do's got huge soaring choruses, but Angel Eyes is one that doesn't get the heavy sort of radio rotation that maybe your Mamma Mia's and all the others get. Has anybody actually been to see the ABBA Voyage?
I bet Steve Priest does.
It's on my list. Don't worry. It's on my list of
Lord of the All Saints album. Oh, dear. I think I've even mentioned this on a podcast, but if you do get a chance, go, because he's fucking insane. Right. Anybody else got one they want to throw in?
I've got one. It's like a band that I'm not... Oh, sorry, Ed, somebody else.
No,
go on, Paul.
Yeah. I don't really know where this band are up to now, but they were sort of about for about a year. The All Seeing Eye, they're called.
Yeah.
And I remember buying the single for 50p or something, and I used to always put it on compilations for people. It's the one with Phil Oakey called The First Man in Space.
Yeah.
Which is just brilliant. I just love Phil's voice. He's just got a fantastic voice. And at the time, I don't think I'd heard from him for years, so it was fantastic to hear him again. Yeah.
Who else did they do singles with?
Tony Christie.
They did, didn't they? They
Walk Like a Panther.
Walk Like a Panther, yeah.
The Beat Goes On. I don't know.
Did they do one with Jarvis Cocker?
Yeah, they did, but I don't know what it was called. He might have been involved in Walk Like a Panther, possibly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I know he was involved. Cause they're all from Sheffield, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Solid chat. Stephen, what was you going to throw in the mix, mate?
Arcade Fire.
Oh.
Intervention for the Neon Bible. As opposed to the guitar thing, that's the one with the church organ and just all that sort of chorus.
Yeah, that's a great chat. I'll tell you what, I'm going to thumb this in now. That if you like Arcade Fire, check out 86 TVs, which is the new band featuring three of the White Brothers from the Maccabees, and I had Hugo on. I've recorded it's coming out soon. I recorded it a couple of weeks ago. Their band's absolutely fantastic, and it's very, very Arcade Fire in places. It's huge anthem, huge sound, and go give them a go give them a listen. The album's not out yet, but there's a few tracks up on Spotify, and named their band after the fantastic track from the debut album by I'm Clute. Go check that out. Steve, did you have one for us, brother?
Yeah, I had a couple, mate. If we're going on a 90s dance vibe, I've got Alternate.
Yes.
I've also got Trip to the Moon by Asin.
Love it.
A bit of a hardcore classic.
Nice.
On Production House Records.
Fantastic.
Alex Party by Alex Party.
Yes. I mean, you mentioned Alvin Stardust, Si. If we're keeping it on the A's, we should talk about his son, Adam F. Adam F. made the Chaos record, which resident we are Lizard's DJ and friend and former guest of the show, DJ Destruction, co-produced. And this little skinny kid from Grays in Essex, who was the DJ in my band, went, I've been asked to go and do some scratching for this band. And then he went on this world tour with Adam F, who had moved from doing circles and the kind of dance stuff into deciding he was going to make hip-hop records. The next thing I see is I get this picture sent over from Ross, or Destruction, of him in a vocal booth with Busta Rhymes and LL Cool J in New York, and then sends me a picture in this studio with the orchestra that done the Star Wars score. It was one of the most expensive albums ever to be made on EMI, and it had the Twin Towers on the cover, and it was due to be released sometime in September, and then it all got shelved and put back again. And you must remember Ross, Mark.
Yeah, I do, mate. I remember him mixing in school assembly, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I never heard anything like it. It was amazing. It was so good. And you knew then, like, this fella ain't going to be selling insurance in fucking town centre. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just knew he had something that he was gonna kick on with. Yeah, I do remember Ross, yeah. Yeah, I remember you telling me that story about the photos as well. I think.
It's amazing. Yeah, that record, like Dan Lassac used to open his DJ sets with Stand Clear, which is a huge track. And yeah, like that record for where hip hop was at that point, the artists on that, LL Cool J, Method Man, Red Man, Busta Rhymes, De La Soul, Guru, it's absolutely chocker with the best. Yeah, so shout out Adam F. If no one else is going to say it, I'm going to throw...
Axeth, you're going to say, Stu, aren't you?
Who?
Hope you can say Axeth.
Who?
Still
Axeth.
No, I wasn't. I'm going to keep it simpy. I'm going to go with Aha, and I'm going to go with... I should go with The Sun Always Shines on TV because it's a masterpiece, but I'm going to go with I've Been Losing You, which was the single that followed that. Which is just huge fat synths, brilliant pop melodies, and Morten Arkett, one of the best voices ever. And yeah, I mean, if you want your pop stars, they don't come any more perfectly formed than the Morten Arkett, do they? Absolute voice of an angel in a band that makes great pop music. And fuck me, what a handsome human being he was. So yeah, I'm going to throw in Aha there. Brett, what you got?
I've got the rest of my bingo list, but if everyone else wants to go first, I'll do the rest of what I haven't done.
I'll tell you what, go on, exercise it, do it.
Exercise, right, I've got Aphex Twin.
Oh, why did I not go Aphex Twin?
Aphex Twin. We've got the Aquabats. We've got Aqua, that's my wife's choice. We've got the Avalanches.
Oh.
We've got Adele.
Hmm.
Not quite as good. We've got Ace of Base. Annie Lennox.
No.
Arctic Monkeys.
Great shout.
Alice in Chains.
I think Steve just held up an Alice in Chains record there.
Fair enough. The Automatics, which was the first version of the Specials. Avril Lavigne. She's dead when she's been replaced, obviously. Amazulu.
clearly not too good to be forgotten.
Exactly. Art Garfunkel.
Oh, yeah. Gene Wilder with a beautiful voice. Yeah.
Yeah. The Art of Noise.
Yes.
And Angie Brown. I Wish I Didn't Miss You Anymore.
Oh,
and Aerosmith and Les Morissette.
All About Love. Eve.
All About Eve. All About One Eve, of the most iconic Top of the Pops performances ever.
Am I the only one that thinks that an artist beginning with A isn't the first name?
You're right.
David Bowie is a B, not a D.
Absolutely. You are correct.
Can it tell me you're storing it alphabetically?
Yeah, you can't have Alanis Morissette. You can't have Alanis Morissette. No. That's M.
Okay, I'll bring that around in about a year's time.
Everybody's mentioned it that way when they've said an artist, they've gone with the first name.
Mark, are your vinyl all over the fucking place? Are you going with are you going with second name, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a discussion that I have quite a lot on vinyl forums and stuff like that, and my CDs and cassettes are the same. So it's band name. So Adam and the Ants is A. I always put Van Morrison's always one that's a little bit. Is it V or is it M? I always put him under M. And then it's surname of a solo artist. That's how I do it. And then band name. Yeah. So what's one that comes up quite a lot? That's always a bit. Let me think. George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Right. That goes under G because that's a band name to me. Right. Not under T. Yeah, it's a tricky one. If you want to get a chat going on the Facebook in the comments, right? Let's just start that one off because everybody does it different, and everyone's like, you're all shaking your heads, going, "No." That's what it's like. It's just so polarizing that question. But for me, it's always solo artist by surname and band name by the first letter of the band name. Yeah, but it's what you define as a band name. Like I say, George Thorogood and the Destroyers, I call that G. It's a band name, but yeah, everybody does it different.
What's the wrong one? What's the wrong with that? It's like the Specials would be an S, or the they'd be an S, would they, or T?
You can't use a the. S.
Nah.
Fair enough. Okay. Right. Yeah. Noted.
Oh dear. Do you know what? It's this kind of conversation that makes me really happy that I'm in this space with another 9 tragic people because I feel very comfortable.
I never realised it was this passionate.
I also go chronological though.
Oh,
bands if they've released more than one album.
Yeah,
so yeah, chronological within the artist, 100%. Yeah.
No one's going autobiographical now.
And also at the drive-in.
Oh, great shout at the drive-in. Great shout.
I find randoms the easiest way.
What? Just put them in anywhere.
Anywhere they go in, they go in, and I normally remember where they are.
Yeah,
I don't have that's an utter bullshit.
Oh God, I'd have such anxiety if I didn't know that mine were in alphabetical order. I don't know, I wouldn't sleep.
I'm sweating thinking about this record collection.
I used to have a mate, quote unquote, who used to come around my flat in Grays.
Oh, can't deal with that.
And deliberately switch my CDs around out of alphabetical order. Just to wind me up. And eventually I said to him, look, and we weren't even joking. I was like, you ain't welcome at my house no more if you're going to keep doing that, mate. I can't have it. Like, I go and look for something and it ain't where it's supposed to be. Sorry, mate. Like, I genuinely like, you know, I like you and that. You're a nice fella, but I can't have you in my house if you're going to do that. You know, I'm making you a cup of tea or whatever and you're fucking around with me. Nah, mate, you don't do that. Don't do that to a man's music collection. You just can't do it, mate. Sorry. He took it well, to be fair. He did think I was joking for a minute and I said, no, I ain't joking, mate. I can't have it. Like, I warned him a couple of times about it and he just kept doing it. So I was like, well, I can't have that.
You can't have people like that in your life, mate. I remember being at college and chatting to a girl and I was like, you can come around if you want to listen to some music and that. She was like, yeah. And she was a fashion student and she had like very cool taste in music. And whatever album I was listening to at the time, I would put at the front of the collection. They were all sort of stacked, leaning against the wall, like pushed forward. And that's how I remember sort of like coming in the house. I remember thinking, oh, I was listening to Alexander O'Neill this morning, and that's at the front. And I remember making an excuse and saying, I won't be a second. I run up there and found a Joni Mitchell record and put it at the front. What a wanker. Yeah, he has been listening to some Joni Mitchell this morning. Yeah. dear, oh dear. Lads,
I did a flip side story of that.
No, go on.
I might have mentioned this before. One of the first holidays I went on, my wife and I have got polar opposite music tastes. We went on holiday and we went down to my parents' place in France. It's about a 6-hour drive. I was like, yeah, bring a load of CDs. We'll, you know, it's a long journey, this and the other. So I had a very early iPod, which I'd stacked up with all kinds of stuff. And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I bought loads of tunes. How much more? So I've got 5 Pink albums. I'm like, brilliant.
I would have just got out and got the bus. Like,
yeah. A bit committed by then.
Oh, fantastic. Look, I'm going to press stop, but don't go anywhere. Let's stick about and have a chat. Thanks, everyone, for contributing this evening. We'll be back next month with B.